The House will come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. Esquivel. Flores. Galizio. Gerard. Gelzer. Gilliam. Gilman. Gerard. Greenlick. Hannah. Holvey. Hunt. Jensen. Comp. Kotek. Krieger. Crummel. Lim. McPherson. Maurer. Minnis. Morgan. Nathanson. Nelson. Nolan. Olson. Reed. Richardson. Riley. Roblin. Rosenbaum. Schaffler. Scott. Shields. Greg Smith. Patty Smith. Thatcher. Tomei. Wisnet. Witt. Mr. Speaker. Excused. Burley. Minnis. Nelson.
Colleagues, we'll stand at ease while waiting for the Republican caucus to join us.
Leaders of the great state of Oregon, we call forth illumination, wisdom, compassion, and courage to accomplish whatever will benefit the people we serve. Let light shine in the dark places, that we would see the needs and rise to meet them. Let wisdom discern the truths we hold dear. Let compassion win over injustice, and let courage strengthen us in our undertakings. In the spirit of justice and righteousness, of which our brother, the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., courageously gave voice, one among many brave, and like the prophet Amos of old, let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Let this be so in our lives. In our own traditions, we offer this prayer, our lives, in faith and trust of all that we hold sacred. Amen.
Courtesies. Representative Bruin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At which my colleagues, Paige, could you come to the sidebar, please? Like all of my colleagues, to recognize Ms. Paige Lansom, who is visiting us today. She is a junior from Westside Christian High in Tualatin, also lives in Tualatin, and she is doing a piece on the legislature. And so I've given all of her your deepest, darkest secrets, which will be on the front page of the Lake House Legal Review in the next few weeks. Please welcome Paige.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate. First reading, memorials and resolutions.
H.G.R. 12, encouraging Oregonians to join in celebration of Korean American Day.
Measure read first time is passed to the speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills. By unanimous consent, do we have such consent to return to propositions and motions? Representative Hunt.
Mr. Speaker, I move that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the rules of the House of Representatives of the 74th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage, each bill shall be read section by section, be suspended this regular session of the 74th Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during this regular session be read by title only.
Representative Hunt moves that in compliance with Article 4, Section 19 of the Oregon Constitution, and notwithstanding any provision of the rules of the House of Representatives of the 74th Legislative Assembly, the requirement that on its final passage each bill shall be read section by section be suspended for this regular session of the 74th Legislative Assembly, and that all bills pending before the House for final passage during this regular session be read by title only. Those of the opinion that the requirement that all bills be read section by section should be suspended will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion adopted, provision suspended. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2446 relating to video lottery game terminals and establishments with brewery public house licenses. House Bill 2447 relating to Korean American Day. House Bill 2448 relating to medications that are intended to inhibit the enzyme known as Cyclogenesis 2. House Bill 2449 relating to Oregon Ice Age Museum at the Columbia Gorge Discovery Center in the Dallas. House Bill 2450 relating to sale of propriety, real property of local government. House Bill 2451 relating to Quality Education Commission. House Bill 2452 relating to quality goals for public education and declared emergency. House Bill 2453 relating to quality goals for public education and declared emergency. House Bill 2454 relating to records of the state acting insurance fund corporation. House Bill 2455 relating to workers' compensation insurance. House Bill 2456 relating to school buses and declared emergency. House Bill 2457 relating to attorney liens. House Bill 2458 relating to wage surveys used to determine prevailing rates of wage. House Bill 2459 relating to English as official language of Oregon. House Bill 2460 relating to Oregon family leave.
Bills read first time or passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills. Consent calendar. Third reading of House bills. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the resolution.
STR 1, establishing deadlines for completion of legislative measures and date of adjournment sine die of regular session of 74th Legislative Assembly.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution 1. Speaker Merkley.
Good morning, colleagues. Today we rise to deliberate the conduct of an experiment in 21st century governance. But before we look forward, let's look back. In 1859, our forefathers set out a plan for 19th century legislative governance. Specifically, they called for a legislature that would convene once every 2 years to consider the affairs of state and legislative issues. At that time, we had primarily an agrarian economy, timber economy. We had a population of approximately 50,000, and we had a biennium budget of less than $50,000 per year. The world is a somewhat different place today than it was 148 years ago, and Oregon is certainly a very different place than it was 148 years back. Our population has increased 72-fold to roughly 3.6 million citizens. And the governor's proposed budget for 2007-2009 is $46.2 billion. Over the weekend, I was reading a book by Andy Stern, national president of the SEIU, and he had a summary of just how fast the world is changing. He put it this way. The agrarian revolution in human society took about 3,000 years. The Industrial Revolution in human economy took about 300 years. And the Knowledge Revolution has taken place in the last 30 years. It is somewhat amazing when we think back 30 years ago. 30 years ago, the Wang word processor was taking over state and federal government. But personal computers were yet a twinkle in an engineer's eye. And 30 years ago, the World Wide Web was a super-secret DARPA project, DARPA as in Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and it was an experiment in sustaining communications after a nuclear holocaust. It was certainly not a device for communicating between individuals and businesses around the entire world multiple times a day, billions of messages a year. And as the pace of economic change and the depth of complexity has modified, the number of legislative issues before this chamber has increased exponentially. And today we pose the question, is the model for legislative deliberations that served our agrarian forefathers the best model for us today? The Oregon Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature has studied this question and recommended that the Oregon experiment with session timing and structure to better meet its responsibilities to make policy, adopt budgets, and oversee agencies. The Commission's report included the following three relevant recommendations. First, that the House and Senate approve a resolution for establishing concurrent deadlines for bill introductions, committee and floor action in the first House, and significant internal activities, including committee closure. Second, that the House and Senate should establish a sine die adjournment no later than July 30, 2007, and that the House and Senate should plan for a legislative session in 2008. The report contained yet more detailed recommendations for 2008, that it should convene, the session should convene in January and begin committee work and floor sessions immediately due to the timing of the May primary. And it should be a 60-day maximum, that it should deliberate only on fiscal and compelling issues, and that any time extensions should be allowed only with a 3/5 supermajority vote of both houses. The Commission also called upon the 2000 legislative session to agree on a date to meet in special session in 2008. And it said the following, and I quote, "Unpredictable and complex policy issues and the uncertainty surrounding fiscal matters suggest the need for the legislature to meet in an even-numbered year. Rather than engage in the dance of whether the governor will call a special session or the legislature will convene itself and what items will be on the agenda, the Commission recommends that the legislature assume there will be matters of importance to be dealt with and plan ahead to do so," end of quote. We now have the resolution that addresses these recommendations before us. We are adopting 2007 legislative deadlines for requesting bills, filing bills, and passing measures through the Chamber of Origin. We are committing ourselves in this resolution to adjourning, as we did in our House rules, no later than June 29, 2007. Which, by the way, just happens to be my mother's 80th birthday. And she said that would be one more good reason that we should finish in June. And we are establishing a plan for convening ourselves through the standard constitutional process in 2008. I close by saluting the leadership of Speaker Minnis, President Courtney, Speaker's Chief of Staff Gary Wilhelms, Judge Laura Pryor, for the thoughtful bipartisan deliberations that went into the Commission's recommendations recited here today, which in turn comprise the foundation for the resolution we are considering, an experiment in building a 21st century legislative structure to address the pace and substance of 21st century challenges. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Thank you. Colleagues, I have a couple of concerns about this measure, which is being rushed through the legislature in the glare of complimentary media relations today and the editorials which we've seen. Now, Oregon's Constitution clearly states that sessions of the Legislative Assembly shall be held annually. This concurrent resolution is simply a clear attempt to end-run Oregon's Constitution and Oregon voters. Now, if annual sessions are good for Oregon, this should be an amendment referred to the voters. I appreciate the fact that we're going to make an attempt to see how it works, but I also think that that decision should have been left to the voters. Voters could be asked in a general election to allow a special session in 2008, and if in the opinion of the majority of the electorate the process worked, then we'd have the authority to proceed thenceforth. My second concern is that a yes vote on this measure today includes a declaration of an emergency scheduled for February of 2008. Webster's dictionary defines emergency as something that's unforeseen, an unforeseen event, or a combination of unforeseen circumstances. Can we honestly make such a declaration today and not take care of it in the timelines that are presently afforded to us? It's really no wonder why Oregonians are cynical about its legislators. Too frequently we'd sell our soul for the headline and a favorable editorial. Another concern that I do have about this is where I'm going to stay next February. Now, those of you who would like to rent a home, you can pay your first and last month's rent and a cleaning deposit. Now, I don't mind paying my first and last month's rent as long as it's all in the same place and the same month. But the cleaning deposit and 2 months' rent in exchange for an opportunity to stay here is quite honestly, it's a burden upon those who would come from long distances to arrive and spend their full time with their families here in the legislative process. And finally, I have a concern that this measure is really the same practical effect that you get when you tie your shoelaces together. Why would we voluntarily move to constrain ourselves in this process, compressing into a time frame which will be difficult to accomplish? Please don't expect me to be an affirmative vote to waive the established constitutional deadlines so carelessly glossed over in this measure today. If indeed it's good public relations to really rush through SCR 1 today, it would be even better public relations coup when we hold ourselves to the deadlines in it established.
Further discussion, Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Friends, I stand in qualified support of this resolution. Let me give you a few thoughts. One of the clearest definitions of insanity is to do things the same way over and over again and expect the same result. In my limited experience in this body, I have seen us come together. We have a few very important issues that we argue over endlessly. Then we argue some more about them. Finally, we have exhausted ourselves and the public over these issues, and then we leave with a very bad taste in our mouth after some unknown amount of time. This proposal will not stop this arguing, nor should it. The things that we disagree with, the things that we argue about, are important to us, they are important to the state, and this is the venue where we do come together to discuss them. And it shouldn't be curtailed. But what I hope to see is some discipline in this body to know when we are just arguing and not getting anywhere, and to have a deadline that says, you state your cases, but then let's move. Let's do something. And so I am hoping in this resolution we can prove that we can do that. Now, here's what I like about this and why I voted for it in committee. It's an experiment. The Public Commission and the legislature was very clear that if we couldn't do this by our own volition, then how can we ask the voters to tell us to do it? I like the structure of a known timeline. I work better when I know my timelines. I don't know about the rest of you, but I learned this in college, that when the paper's due, you better get it done. So I like that structure. And the other piece about this that I really like is this congruence between the Senate and the House. It has always baffled me since I've been here how the Senate's off doing one thing and we're doing it on another timeline. And how does that work? So these are things that I really like about this. Here's what I really worry about in this proposal. The proposal is pretty clear about the dates and sort of what we're supposed to work on next February, but I'm sincerely worried that without any real clarity, we are just going to be postponing the same arguments. Oh, we're going to end now arbitrarily, and we're going to take up this same argument next February. I really worry about that. Will we be furthering the partisanship that is also part of this process in a bad way by being so close to the election deadline? That worries me. But the most important worry I have here is, will the public just see more legislature and not better legislature? These are questions that I don't think we can answer until we give this a try by our own volition. When we were in committee, I asked members of the Public Commission to ask me, to tell me, if they could, how would we know if this experiment works? What's the metric? How do we measure this? And they didn't have a cogent answer to that because I don't think there is one. And I believe the answer lies with the citizens of Oregon. I hope that we can do this, and they will be able to tell us whether this change makes a difference for them in terms of our process. Because I think we need to remember we are not doing this for ourselves. If that's why we're doing this, that's a terrible mistake. What I hope we're doing this for is for the citizens to see a better, more productive, more responsive public body. And in that spirit, I'm willing to give it a try.
Further discussion, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, first of all, just a side note from the carrier's comments. On the third floor last week, some of our LAs brought out an electric typewriter, and they had it in the common area. And it was amazing how the shock that they had over trying to operate that machine. They kept looking at me saying, you actually used to write on that and erase things? So the pace of change is rather remarkable, and we are dealing with that today. For the past 25 years or so, I've had the opportunity to work with a number of different groups focused on specific goals. And for 6 years of my professional life, I got to work for an institution where we focused on one question. And that question is this: what's the process that produces excellence? And that's a question that we haven't asked ourselves as a legislature in a long, long time. In 2005, we gave a mandate to the Public Commission on the legislature, and we asked them to ask that question. What would excellence look like? What would be a new standard look like for the Oregon legislature? Madam Speaker, may I have permission to use the visual aid?
Representative Buckley requests permission to use a visual aid. Is there objection? Without objection, proceed.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, the Commission came forth with what they titled a blueprint for 21st century legislature. What they are trying to get to is excellence in government. And some of the pieces in this resolution are fantastic. The fact that we actually have a schedule for our work. I don't know all of your occupations, but can you think of any job you've had where you haven't had a schedule for your work? I would tell people about that back home in my district after my first session, and they wouldn't believe it. You don't have a clear schedule? This resolution puts forth for the first time a clear schedule. This is about transparency and clarity. Those are values that we've all expressed over and over again on the campaign trail, that we want to be transparent with our work. We want to be very clear about what we're doing and how we're doing it. And when we do that in our process, we're reaching towards excellence. So that's the idea I think is worth reaching for. How do we have excellence in Oregon state government? We're capable of it. The question is, will we reach for it? And the one provision about calling ourselves back into special session next year, first of all, we still have to vote ourselves back in. It's still part of our constitutional process of being very clear about what we're doing when we're doing it. We will vote to call ourselves back in to special session. And secondly, similar to my experience in the theater, this gives an experience, an opportunity to have a preview performance. So the public can observe the production before opening night, before we take it to a constitutional vote. I strongly support this resolution. I'm very appreciative of the work that's been done to bring this before us. We have for far too long suffered from a lack of credibility with the public. We've suffered from a lack of belief that we can actually accomplish our work and accomplish it well. Colleagues, this is a chance to step towards excellence. And I implore you to join with me in supporting this resolution. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, I have sometimes, when asked about this topic in the district or in front of groups, I have posed the question that would sound like I would be in favor of this, I suppose, but the question of what major corporation runs its company with a board of directors that meets every other year? And the answer is obviously none. Boards of directors meet relatively frequently. Having said that, and being able to, you know, make that argument, I still stand today in unqualified opposition to this resolution. I do so because I believe that it starts out and creates once again and complicates once again the two Oregons. I'd like to have you take a look, and I can't, and I'm not going to pick on the members from the other party, but I'd like to have you look at the members from my caucus who come from rural eastern southern Oregon. They all, in some way or another, very much resemble myself, all with a couple of exceptions. One very notable exception. They tend to be past middle age. They're not old, but they tend to be past middle age. They tend not to have children at home. They tend to be retired or semi-retired in positions where they don't have to rely on a job outside of their big salary we get from being legislators. I understand that many of the freshmen were addressed about, you know, some of the issues and problems or what have you of being a freshman, I don't know, legislator or senator, whoever it was, but at any rate, representative, Senator Ben Westland made the comment that being a representative slash senator is hard on families. Somebody wanted to rebut that and say that there are probably no greater divorce rates in senators and representatives than there are in the general population. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not the general population. Jobs like this are hard on families. And I deeply respect those of you who live close to the Capitol, that it's hard on your families too. But you do go home, many of you, every night to your children. You don't have the same amount of time maybe to devote to the children that you would have in your normal pursuit. But you do go home every night to be with them. The representative from Klamath Falls and I fortunately have gotten beyond the point of having to worry about the children at home. But we do have others at home. It's going to make it. It would make it extremely difficult for me to, thank you, Representative. It would make it extremely difficult for me to run for this office, you know, to have initially run for this office.
Representative Barker yields.
Thank you, Representative. When I first ran, I probably would have rejected it, and some would say that would have been for the good of Oregon, but history remains to, you know, I suppose, tell us or write that page. One of my colleagues, who has children at home, has been able, on the schedule that we're on now, to buy a house and move to Salem and bring his family to Salem with him. Certainly, I'm sure he'd be glad to admit that and recognize that he's very fortunate in having been able to do that. However, and his children are school age. And on a six-month basis, they go to school for the last semester. That's not the worst thing in the world, maybe for them. It's diversity. It's an educational experience for them. And that probably works out real well. But what parent of you is going to jerk your children out of school for 30 days to come to Salem to the state legislature every other year? For 6 months, for the semester, fine. But in and out, probably not. Do you know what you miss when you're not home with your families? And I know you pay this price, regardless of who you are, sort of thing. It's the degree to which you pay it. I'd like to ask one of the young representatives, from my caucus, how many of his son's basketball games he's going to miss in the second session of this legislative session when he has to come to Salem. The good representative from Heppner, if he were asked, I'm sure, would indicate that would be a significant hardship for him. I think, and perhaps it's not the place to debate partisan politics, but I think it makes it much more difficult for my caucus to recruit people in eastern, southern, rural, distant Oregon. Now, the representatives you have, certainly are eminently qualified now. The representative from down in the southwest Oregon, as an example, is eminently qualified, but we're missing something that my counterparts on the other side of the aisle have a lot of, and that's a lot of youth, a lot of young people who bring incredible vitality and energy to this process, new ideas and things that we need. And it will even be harder for us to recruit these under the system. One of my distinguished colleagues has made the question about excellence. And I appreciate that particular idea, the comments that he made on, I think that should be something we're looking for. But the first thought I had was, how do we measure excellence? What is it that is going to be the measure of excellence? And how does two sessions, annual sessions, stack up in that particular regard? Why would annual sessions, until we know what we're measuring, we can't tell whether annual sessions are going to be more excellent than not. But if we took economic vitality as an example of excellence, and we looked, for example, then further at the state of Oregon and compare it with, or the state of Washington, and compare it with other states, compare us with other states, we might well look at the state of Texas. The state of Texas that has a biennial.
Representative Gilliam yields.
Thank you, Representative. Texas has a biennial legislature. And there's no way to compare the excellence of the economic vitality of our area with that of the state of Texas. Now, I suppose you could look at some other factors,
you know, in relationship to that. But I could look at the fact they've got a president who happens to have come from Texas, and there's a couple of other presidents who have come from Texas, which probably in some minor way has a major impact on their economic vitality. But certainly their biennial legislative session has not detracted from that economics, if economics is the measure that that we might choose to look at for excellence. The final thought I would have on this particular thing, and the argument as far as the citizens' positive response to it, is the issue of time. As I look at this particular proposal, this experiment, you know, it looks to me like we spend the same amount of time or more in this building at the same or maybe greater cost than we do at the present time. We've got a six-month session now, and many of the Oregon legislatures have adjourned in less than 6 months. So what do we gain by adding a month, 6 weeks, or whatever it is, out in a second year in terms of time? What do we gain in terms of the amount of the taxpayers' money that we spend here if we don't shorten the time on it? As I said, I'm an unqualified opponent of this measure. I deeply, respect the position of those who have advanced it. I would ask that you recognize that many of these folks live within an hour's drive of the state capitol, making it much, much easier, whatever their family and or economic circumstances are, to be able to afford the luxury of coming to Salem. I know one of the speakers who preceded me lives a good deal further away, and my apologies for not knowing the family history of all of the people from the other party, and I don't know it for all of the people from my own party. So with that, I urge your no vote.
Further discussion, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution. Colleagues, I rise in support of the resolution, but my support is, I think, like many of yours, and it's not without trepidation. You don't come to this process without developing a great respect for it and a great reverence for the work that we do here. The discussions that we have are not always neat and tidy and parliamentary, because we come from hugely diverse parts of the state. We come here with hugely diverse life experiences, and our collective idea of what's best for the state of Oregon is not often in agreement. But all of that given, I think that one of the things that we've consistently heard from the people of the state of Oregon in the last while is that they would like the session to run in a more business-like way. They'd like us to be more productive and more disciplined in our deliberations, and they're tired of the partisanship, and they're tired of the bickering. I think that the great work that the Commission on the Legislature did to have that conversation with the citizens of Oregon really reinforced what we've all been hearing in our own districts. And I do salute the work that has gone on around this session restructuring resolution. I have been part of the discussions of this. when it was just a small group of people within our caucus, when it was branched out to join with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle in the House, when we moved to join the discussions with our counterparts over on the other side of the building. And this is not going to be without its shortcomings. This is not going to be an overdose of perfection. This is a grand experiment, and I think that is something that is worthwhile having. One of the thoughts that I would like to get on the record is in addressing with the issue of nonpartisanship and the issue of not appearing to be bickering when the people of the state of Oregon watch us in our deliberations. One of the things that we discussed all through this process was the huge need to be very careful with the agenda for the even year session because of the proximity of that session to the election season. That session right now is scheduled to start right before the primary elections. I think that it is very important as discussions go forward around how the agenda is going to be set for that special session that there be continued support for some kind of a gateway committee that has a nonpartisan basis to it, a committee that is made up of members of the House, members of the Senate, and members of the parties in equal numbers that will set the agenda for that session so that it doesn't become a partisan poke you in the eye, set you up for the election cycle kind of a session. I would hope that as this issue goes forward and the details around how this grand experiment is going to look are ironed out, that that's one of the things that's held in the highest consideration. And with that, I would just like to say that this is an experiment that is well worth doing. It's going to be a great learning experience for all of us, and I think if we keep the people of the state of Oregon in the fronts of our mind and keep the sanctity of this legislative process in the fronts of our mind, that this will be a worthy thing to do. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Wisnant.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the bill, to the resolution.
To the resolution.
Honorable colleagues, I speak to you today as a citizen, not as a Republican or Democrat. Last week, each of us in this body proudly sworn an oath to uphold the Oregon Constitution. If we're to uphold that oath, we must vote against the concurrent resolution before us today. You know, Article 4, Section 10 of the Constitution states, the sessions of the Legislative Assembly shall be held biannually. The language and intent of Article 4, Section 10 is clear and plainly prohibits this body from meeting on an annual basis. Despite the language in Article 4, Section 10, we're being asked to approve a concurrent resolution that would move Oregon to annual legislative sessions on a trial basis. Supporters of this proposal believe we can do this by declaring an emergency today and holding a special session in 2008 under Article 4, Section 10A of the Oregon Constitution. We cannot do this, colleagues. Article 4, Section 10A of the Oregon Constitution provides, in the event of an emergency, the Legislative Assembly shall be convened by the presiding officers of both houses at the Capitol of the state at times other than required by Section 10 of this article. The plain language of this article indicates the Legislative Assembly can only hold a special session in the event of emergency. The current resolution before us today declares an emergency exists and will continue through February of 2008. My question to you each is simple. What's the emergency we're declaring? And how do we know it's going to continue through February of 2008? Colleagues, the truth is there's no emergency, and everyone in this room knows it. The current resolution is nothing more and nothing less than an attempt to circumvent the Oregon Constitution, the requirement that sessions of the Legislative Assembly be held biannually, as voted by the people. The assertion that we can declare an emergency and hold a special session in 2008, even though no emergency exists, has important implications. By asserting that we have the power to declare a non-existent emergency and hold a special session, We're also asserting we have the power to declare an emergency and hold a special session in 2010, 2012, 2014, and ever even year thereafter. We're saying we have the power to move to annual sessions on a permanent basis without a constitutional amendment. I may actually support annual sessions with a constitutionally defined time limit, objectives, and goals to better serve the people. Yet if we're to fulfill our oath to uphold the Oregon Constitution, we must ask the people of Oregon to amend the Oregon Constitution. This resolution calls for a session of up to 208 days. Colleagues, we've already demonstrated we can do that. Also, as my background in the military, where is our test plan? We're doing a test. Where is the test plan? What are the desired outcomes? Where are the performance measures that we're going to use to report to the people this works or not? We know we can come here for 208 days. The Oregon Constitution is an organic law of the state, and the people of Oregon have always taken great pride in its right to protect and process the processes it provides. Each and every provision of our Constitution has been voted upon and represents the will of the people. No part represents the will of the people more than any other. For this reason, the constitutional provisions stating the sessions of the Legislative Assembly shall be held biannually are just as important to our Constitution provisions as the ones on freedom of speech and our freedom for unreasonable search and seizure. As you consider your vote, I urge you to keep in mind that Article 17 of the Oregon Constitution specifically provides a mechanism for submitting a constitutional amendment to voters. Under this process, it would be possible for us to refer a constitutional amendment to the voters and have it voted upon before the end of May. That's right, May of this year. Why are we seeking to declare a non-existing emergency and circumvent the Oregon Constitution where there's already an available constitutionally permissible process for asking the voters to decide whether Oregon should move to annual sessions? Do we not trust the voters? I ask you to join me in voting no on this concurrent resolution and consider implementing annual sessions only after letting the people speak. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Boquist.
Question of the carrier, Madam Speaker.
Question of the carrier, will the carrier yield?
Yes, I will.
You will.
Madam Speaker, Section 10, Article 4 of the Constitution clearly states the legislature will meet biannually. Can the carrier assure us that SCR 1 is constitutional?
Yes, the carrier can assure you of that. It is constitutional. It does not purport to override Section 10, Article 4, which requires that sessions be held biannually. Instead, it establishes the conditions for starting the process outlined in ORS 171.1015 that invokes Section 10A, Article 4 of the Oregon Constitution, which authorizes the Legislative Assembly to call itself into special session. The special session provisions of SCR 1 apply only to the year 2008.
Follow-up question, Madam Speaker.
Further question, will the carrier yield?
Yes, I will.
He will.
Madam Speaker, page 2, line 21 through 23 of the resolution declares a state of emergency exists from this date through February 2008. Can the carrier define for me the definition and the nature of this emergency and how we can forecast it's going to last the next 13 months?
Yes, I can. Thank you very much. The preamble to SCR 1 describes the nature of the emergency. The Commission on the Oregon Legislature found that the current biennial schedule does not meet the needs of the state and that even year sessions will improve the handling of complex policy issues and related fiscal matters. The purpose of the declaration of emergency in subsection 3 of the resolution is to establish a precondition for convening a special session under Section 10A, Article 4 of the Constitution.
Further question of the carrier, Madam Speaker?
Further question, will the carrier yield?
Yes, I will.
He will.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Did the committee consider other mechanisms besides declaring a 13-month state of emergency to call us back into session next February?
Thank you. I'd like to defer that question to a member of the committee. You could ask to speak to you could ask the question of a member of the committee.
Madam Speaker, I'm amenable to it being deferred.
We didn't practice the part.
Representative, could you clarify of whom you are asking that question? Are you asking the question of the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules?
Madam Speaker, I'm asking it of the carrier, but the carrier has requested permission for another member of the committee to answer that question, and I don't know who that member is, Madam Speaker.
Well, just to clarify, this could either go to a member of the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules, or the Public Commission on the Legislature from whence it originally came to us. So what is your pleasure?
Madam Speaker.
Representative Buckley, do you yield to this question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. Good Representative, in the committee hearing from Elections, Ethics, and Rules, this question was posed, and the panelists, including Gary Wilhelms, Senator Courtney, and Ginny Lang, expressed their experience was that this was discussed, whether it should go immediately to the people for a vote as a direct constitutional amendment, or whether it should actually do the trial run as proposed. After a deliberate discussion amongst the public commission, we were told on committee, the decision was made to suggest that this would be the route that our state should take.
Thank you. Final question of the carrier, ma'am, Speaker.
Final question. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, he does.
He does.
Madam Speaker, does the executive branch or the governor and his agencies derive any power from the legislature declaring this state of emergency, such as do they have the ability to waive rules, laws, declare martial law, or does this strictly apply to the legislature?
Thank you for that question. And I also want to thank the good representative from Dallas for submitting the questions to me in advance so I'd have a chance to get official insights from our legislative council. And so, colleagues, the responses I'm sharing with you are not my legal interpretation, if you will, but that of the council that serves this legislature. And the answer to the question just posed is that a resolution is not a law. It does not confer any power on the governor or state agencies. It does not limit the powers they otherwise have. The sole effect of the declaration of an emergency in SCR 1 is to allow the Legislative Assembly to invoke the provisions of ORS 171.015 and begin the process of calling a special session under Section 10A, Article 4 of the Constitution.
Madam Speaker, to the resolution, I request permission to use visual aid.
To the resolution, request permission to use a visual aid. Is there objection? Without objection?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, it should be clear that I'm rising in opposition to the resolution. In the past 2 years, I've served on revenue, veterans, ag and natural resources, state and federal affairs, and emergency preparedness. The single most frustrating aspect of the legislature I have in the past 2 years is a failure to link policy with budget. And many of the senior members will understand that, and I'll explain my frustration to the freshman members. Many times you're going to committee and you'll pass a policy out of your committee, and it's a good policy after much deliberation, and then it goes downstairs, as many of us call, to the dungeon or the basement. That's the Ways and Means process. And it doesn't come out the other end, or the policy that came out the other end by the golden rule, meaning where we're spending our money, doesn't have a whole lot to do with the policy we passed out. For that reason, I do think we possibly should go to annual session, something like the state of Washington, where we address policy in 1, 2, or 3 month period, and in another 2 or 3 month period, we connect it with budget, which allows you to connect the policy, make continuity, and have a better outcome for the citizens of the state of Oregon. However, that's not really why I'm rising today in opposition, because SCR 1 does not connect policy and budget. My questions to the carrier, of course, were submitted beforehand to raise the constitutionality issues and put on the record the definition or lack of definition of the emergency clause. It is true that legislative counsel downstairs says the resolution is okay. In the past 2 years, I have been directly involved in 4 or 5 legislative opinions. The lawyers have been very good. They have approached it in common sense. And frankly, I've been satisfied with the documents that they produced. Unfortunately, not one of them, and I say again, not one of them has been honored by the executive branch of the state of Oregon. Not one. So I have to question whether we're wrong or they're wrong, but it raises the issue of, is the legislative opinion valid to the executive branch? It is not surprising that we should disagree, since in a courtroom, two lawyers go at it, and in the end, a third lawyer judges that one of them lost. Now, that's a 50% success or failure rate in the legal side of the house, and whether you went to a private or a public or your home school, that's still a flunking grade. So in the court of public opinion, where we have 7 to 15 seconds to explain to our voters and maybe 2 or 3 minutes in a forum, my constituents, for the most part, with exception of one sitting in the chamber today, will see this as a suspension of the Oregon Constitution. I have in my hand the book that was on your desk at 8:30 last Monday morning. It's the rules book from the last session. However, you'll find in there on page 75, section 10, article 4 of the Constitution, it clearly states the legislature will meet biennially. The next paragraph, adopted in 1976, and I apologize, I didn't find the voter language of what we put forth, it says, in an emergency, if the majority of the legislature agrees, we will convene in 5 days of us agreeing upon said emergency. Portions of that, of course, is in SRC 1. However, the resolution we have declares an emergency today, and that emergency will last for 13 months, and we will not be meeting in 5 days, as the Constitution says. We'll, in fact, be meeting in 374 days from this day to address an emergency that is still unspecified or unclear, at least in my mind. Now, the governor told us on last Monday that happy days were here again. It's the time of hope and opportunity. We're going to increase spending, proposed by the governor at least, by some 20%, and then there's, I don't know, another $1 billion of discussion in fees and taxes or whatever we want to call it, and other than being fiscally conservative, I wouldn't call spending more money exactly an emergency. I could have asked the distinguished co-chair, and for the record, we talked about this beforehand, of emergency preparedness to define what is an emergency. She could have talked about a tsunami that could be caused by the Cascadia fault line along the Oregon coast. Such an emergency would have wiped out or could potentially wipe out Seaside, do damage to Cannon Beach, wipe out Rockaway, do damage all the way down the coastline, and in the end, kill thousands, if not 10,000s of people. Furthermore, we could have talked about an earthquake of the 9.5 that would be caused, that would drop bridges here in the Willamette Valley.
Representative Patty Smith yields.
Lastly, she could have talked about the pandemic, which will strike, could potentially strike 40% of the Oregon population and kill somewhere between 3 to 5%. That's about 150,000 Oregonians. That's an emergency. I could have asked the distinguished chair of revenue, and I apologize because I didn't ask you beforehand here. I could have asked him to define a financial crisis, but since most of us were either participating or observed 5 or 6 special sessions, I think we understand financial crisis. The bottom line is we still can't define this emergency. Since every legislative opinion that I've been involved has been ignored by the executive branch and the agencies, I'm not about to risk a vote on an undefined emergency that could have possibly been used by them. No, no emergency really exists. I could not convince the majority of my citizens in my district of that. They will see it as a power grab or even a pay raise. Yes, when we come back next February, we'll get more per diem, and many of them will see this as a pay raise. That's simply their perspective. The majority of Oregonians do not support the resolution, and in fact, in testimony before the committee, they came up with a legislative option so that it wouldn't go to the voters at this time. The voters, in fact, are so split, the Rules Committee records will show in testimony that it was stated this idea has been put forth 50 times. Yes, 50 times, but it's gone no place. Again, I can hardly say that's overwhelming support. We could have sent to the voters this plan in May. However, in my opinion, it probably would have failed. And again, that was expressed in the committee hearing. If it's such a good idea, then why don't we shorten the mandated biennial session to 5 months, then agree to ourselves to come back in February of next year at that point, and we can do this without declaring an emergency. Was the idea considered? No. Committee records will show that Senator Starr put forth an idea, but it was not considered. Senator Courtney testified at the hearing the legislature cannot complete its business in 6 months. With all due respect to the President of the Senate, I do not believe that. I have more faith in the Speaker of the House, more faith in the committee chairs, more faith in the leadership of the Republican caucus, more faith in the leadership of the Democratic caucus, that we could, in fact, finish our business in 5 months and prove to the public it's doable. However, with the emergency clause in, even then, I wouldn't vote for a 5-1 plan or a 3-2 plan similar to the state of Washington. The commission came up with some very, very good ideas and recommendations. There is no doubt. However, as I said, the end is not justified by the means proposed in this resolution. We can't expect a court challenge. For the record, I did attend the committee hearing at 4 p.m. last Friday. I spoke with the chair on the emergency clause issue. I heard the commission's testimony. I listened to Senator Starr's proposal, and I heard the committee's decision. And in closing, I'm still not convinced. I signed the oath of office that we all took last Monday, and it was witnessed by the Chief of the Supreme Court. I swore to uphold the Constitution of the State of Oregon, and after 33 years of doing that, I intend to uphold its intent besides its written language. However, when I look at the legislative opinion and the lawyers are batting zero, to me, it's my responsibility to make the interpretation, not the lawyers. And that is why I am a solid no vote, and I urge you to vote no. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question of the carrier, will he yield?
Hello. I do indeed.
He does.
How many days of the length of time in session is exactly in SCR1?
I believe that I know the answer, but if I'm wrong, please correct me. I believe that we are 158 days, if you include the assumption that we adjourn at the end of June, and that we do not extend either that deadline or the deadline in the 2008 session.
Okay, mine came out 196 total. That includes February of next year.
Further question?
20, yes.
Further question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I accept the clarification, and I believe that I've just been informed that it may be the difference between calendar days and legislative days.
Correct. Question to the carrier.
Further question, does the carrier yield?
Yes.
He does.
What's been the average for the last 10 sessions in the state of Oregon that we've been in session?
Thank you. I believe the answer to that depends on whether you include days of special session. And that if you include the days of special session and regular session, the average over the last 10 years was 8 days more than the 158 days that we'd be in session under this plan. If you do not include the special session days, I believe the answer is 8 days less than the plan presented here. And if you compare it to the last two session cycles, I believe the answer is significantly fewer days, on the order of approximately 25.
To the resolution.
To the resolution.
First of all, colleagues, I think if you add this up, it's 196 days total. The other thing is, in the last 10 sessions, I believe Representative Roblin and I added this up out of the Oregon Blue Book. The average session has been 185.8 days, 186. If you add in the special sessions, it exceeds 201 days. On this resolution, LC gave their opinion that we can do this. This is purely an experiment. It would be difficult for us to go to the voters and say, this is what we want to do, and find out this doesn't work well. Then we have to go back to the voters and say, this didn't work. Would you change it back? This to me is about us taking care of business and what we're elected to do. The constitutionality, I am not an attorney. I don't profess to be one. So therefore, I leave that to the people that are. Changes makes everyone uneasy. What if it doesn't work? I look at the brighter sides of things, of having a management background. If it doesn't work, at least we know what not to do. Fact. And sometimes that's better than getting something that's marginally successful. I think this is a good resolution. I implore each and every one of you to vote yes on it. It's just a matter of we need to do something different. I agree with my colleague from Salem that we should restrict this to debate, not to argumentative. But I do feel very sincere that we have some apprehensions here, but none of us will know until it gets here. Change is difficult. I vote yes on this.
Further discussion, Representative Hunt.
To the resolution.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I want to begin by commending the Public Commission, Speaker Minnis, President Courtney, as well as the bipartisan group that my colleague from Roseburg mentioned, that really has come together. And the core of this resolution is important. A lot of the debate we've had, which has been very productive and very civil, has really ignored a lot of the core of this resolution. The core of the resolution is putting some very strict deadlines on ourselves. If you look at the resolution, it has a very strict deadline that we will no longer have daily floor sessions for the first 2 months of session, that we'll reduce those from 5 to 2 through March 2nd. There's a very strict deadline in terms of drafting measures by the Legislative Council. Those requests must be in before January 29th. A strict deadline that all measures must be introduced by February 26th. A strict deadline that fiscal and revenue impact statements must be done by April 20th. A strict deadline that committees can no longer consider bills in their chamber of origin later than April 30th. A strict deadline then for final fiscal and revenue impacts by May 23rd. A strict deadline of closing committees down by May 31st. When you couple the strict deadlines in this resolution with the rules that we passed last week, which require a supermajority to extend any of the deadlines that I've just mentioned, we've got a very good carrot and stick, I would argue, that will help us find greater effectiveness. As a parent who has missed several baseball games in July and August in the past, I'm willing to miss a few basketball games in February in order to trade off the time. Because it's important to remember, even if we are in for every single possible day that this resolution outlines in 2007 and 2008, we will still be in far fewer days than most of us have ever experienced as legislators, certainly than I have experienced during my time as a legislator the last two sessions. So it's important to remember the core of this resolution is about stricter deadlines on ourselves, as well as about a shorter time frame in session overall. As a member of the committee that considered this, I was intrigued that we received written testimony from the state treasurer, noting when you set aside all the good government reasons, all the time-saving reasons, all the greater effectiveness reasons, the state treasurer said that enacting this resolution would have a positive impact on our state's overall financial picture. He said, quote, there would be help improving the state's credit rating, meaning the state would pay less interest on the bonds it sells, which leaves more money available for services like education and health care. By having a special session in 2008, we've got an opportunity to function in a much more effective, responsible way that even our state treasurer has said would have an improvement in terms of our fiscal picture. There is no question that the measure is constitutional. Several members of us asked the witnesses in about as many different ways as they could be asked, if this is constitutional, The answers were unequivocal that this measure is constitutional and complies with the Oregon Constitution. It also, frankly, empowers all 60 of us. Instead of ceding control to the emergency board during the interim, the power to make decisions, budget and policy, rest with all 60 of us. All 90 legislators have involvement in those decisions in February 2008, instead of those decisions being made by a small group on an emergency board. By passage of this resolution, we have the opportunity to have a legislature that is stricter, that is shorter, and that is better. And for those reasons, I would encourage your support of this resolution.
Further discussion? Representative Lim.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Would carrier yield a question, please?
Will the carrier yield to a question?
Most certainly.
He will.
Well, thank you very much. And as a businessman, I'm not asking constitutionality or a definition of emergency, but I want to know how much will it cost the 1998 for the taxpayers, including legislators and councils and everybody involved?
To the 1998 taxpayers, very little. To the 2008 taxpayers, if the total days are less than what we have done the last two sessions, the cost will be less than what we've done in the last two biennium.
Oh, I'm not sure I got the answer. I'd like to know the amount of dollars, and the $1 million, $2 million in this special session.
Clarification?
Yeah.
Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I do. I believe the question you're asking is about the total cost. Yes. I do not have a total cost for February alone. There is a number per session day, and if you look at February, and I'm not sure that I think that number is somewhere around $10,000. I'm looking around to see if I see nodding heads. I don't remember the number. But if that isn't, I see one nodding head from the good chair of Ways and Means. So if it's around $10,000, and I believe we're talking about just over or approximately 20 session days, then you're looking at approximately $200,000. If the result is that we also, as part of this resolution, get out at the end of June rather than the end of July or August, and if there are approximately 50 session days in that, then we'd be trading off savings of, we would have savings about $500,000, subtracting the $200,000, and the net savings would be around $300,000.
Okay. Additional questions?
Additional question, does the carrier yield?
Yes, I do.
He does.
Yes, according to our rules, that any measure is more than $50,000 has to be accompanied by the fiscal impact statement. And then as I see this measure, I just saw the resolution, but I didn't see any fiscal impact statement. And I think we need to know. Could you answer that question?
Thank you very much for that question. Not being a Ways and Means expert, I might get this wrong, but I believe that the rule is based on the total cost in the next budget, if you will, in that in this situation, we're looking at savings, potential savings in the next budget, so I don't believe it triggers the $50,000 clause.
That's what I'll be here, please.
To the resolution.
It's my understanding that any bills or measure spending tax dollars more than $50,000 has to accompany fiscal impact statement. And we are spending about $30,000 a day. If it's 30 days, it could be $1 million and more the next year. I strongly support the annual session. This is needed. Some time ago, even I introduced the annual session for the betterment of our state. We should be prudent how we spend our tax dollars. I need to know, and the taxpayers need to know. I have some reservations on this bill concerning the how much we are going to spend on this special session.
I hope someone can give me this information, not only to me, but to every member of this legislature. I'm just bringing the point that even though I support the bill with some reservation, and that we need to be prudent on spending the money. So I hope we can get some more information later on. With that, I have not fully supporting of this bill, but because of the major annual session, I'm going to support the bill.
See no one further in the queue. Representative Merkley, do you wish to close?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I want to really thank you for the thoughtful deliberations. Many, many good points have been raised. Certainly, we're looking at a very significant change in how we do business, and there are many pros and many cons to be weighed in deciding whether to undertake this. The good representative from Southeast Oregon noted that this was perhaps a decision best left to voters. I could not agree more. The Commission has recommended that before we send it to voters, that we run an experiment both so that we can get feedback on how best to design the proposal to put before voters, and so that voters will have a chance to observe us in such a session and decide if they like the idea or like the changes that we put in the plan based on our experiment in 2008. The good representative from West Salem reminded us that this really is about better government. And there are several ways that this resolution is tied into better government that drove some of the conversations in the public commission. One was that we have tended to have one set of committees during session and then a different set of committees during the interim for 18 months, and then the following session, a new set of session committees, and it has interrupted the flow of working on Oregon's problems. So the idea of laying out a plan now to have a special session in 2008, the core of that idea is that we can then plan for that special session in order to make government work better. And that would mean things such as, first, having committees that continue from this session on in through the interim, on into the 2008 session, so that the same expertise can be built up and ideas can be digested and deliberated on with those committee expertise. The second is that a tremendous authority has been given to the E-Board during the 18 months, and the idea here is that it's a huge delegation of power, and that by planning for a session in 2008, we then have a better sense of the issues that really have to be handled in between the two sessions and those that can be deferred to the entire body, so that all legislators around the state have a voice in the process of making key financial decisions during that second half of the biennium. And third, this particular resolution lays out a vision for that 2008 special session as addressing pressing fiscal and public challenges. And the idea is there that we reduce the need to have an ad hoc plan for a special session, that we can recognize that if such issues come up, we will be having an opportunity to consider it, and we will not have to do, as the Commission put it, a dance as to whether the governor calls us in or we call ourselves in and so on and so forth. The good representative from District 58 has mentioned the impact on families. Having two children of my own, I certainly appreciate him raising this issue. I quite frankly think the jury is out on the best plan for Oregon's families. Does a session that often extends into July and August in recent sessions, is that the best plan for families? I do recall the tremendous tension that existed in my families when in August my wife loaded our two little kids into the car and drove off to the Grand Tetons while I stayed here during the longer session. I know that that wasn't a particularly good plan for families. If we can, in fact, compel ourselves to wrap up by the end of June, when our children are also getting out of schools, this might be a better plan, but we might discover through this experiment that it's not. And again, it's getting that kind of feedback that we can send back to designing a proposal to put before voters, or even deciding if we merit putting a proposal before voters. The good representative from Deschutes County mentioned the constitutional concern, and that has been much debated, but I did want to add one important point to this, that essentially what this resolution does is state an intent. However, this does not lock in the 2008 special session. We cannot pass this back today and say 100% sure that it will happen in 2008. Because what we're saying is we are expressing an intent in order to plan for that 2008 special session and make government work better. But to actually convene a 2008 session, we either have to be called in by the governor or we have to call ourselves in. And we have to meet the petition and then the five-day constitutional clause that the good representative from Dallas referred to. And that is when the constitutional process over the special session occurs, and that's when it would be locked in. And finally, the good representative from Gresham asked for more details on the costs and savings of this approach. Obviously, a lot of assumptions go into that, but certainly I will ask for such information to be developed in greater detail and handed out to members. Colleagues, you have all heard the expression, the third time's the charm. Well, this is not the third time this idea has been considered. In fact, we're testing a distant cousin of that expression, and that is the 62nd time the charm. Over the last 25 years, the Commission has observed that proposals related to modifying the session frequency, length, or timing have been before the legislature or the voters 61 times, and that no significant changes have occurred. And so this is the 62nd consideration, and the Commission acknowledges that changing the culture and habits of a legislature is difficult, but also worth pursuing. And there's a passage I'd like to read for you from their report. It says, "The Commission expects leadership. Legislators, stakeholders, and the public have asked for change to the legislative process, and the Commission has responded with a thoughtful recommendation. It should not become the 62nd time that change is recommended and there is no follow-through." Colleagues, I encourage you to undertake this experiment. It may, much like the rules we discussed just a little over a week ago, be a successful experiment. It may not. We will learn from that, and we will improve the legislature with the information that we gain. There will be more detailed discussions to come, bipartisan discussions, leadership discussions about how best to design this session in 2008. And there will be discussions about how to bring us together in a way that addresses, as the resolution proposes, the pressing issues and does not turn such a session into theater leading to the elections of 2008. So I ask you to join in this experiment in making the Oregon legislature the best it can possibly be.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Kremel, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate concurrent resolution, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Senate concurrent resolution 1, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Ways and Means Subcommittee meeting for Transportation and Human Services will convene promptly at 1:15 today.
Further announcements, Representative Lim.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. And as you see this I was awarded the second Korean American Pioneer Leadership Award last Saturday, as announced by the Representative Witt. I just share with you. And this might cost a couple hundred dollars as a gift, but my name here, John Lim, so I'm sure this value is less than $25. I just want to share with you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Congratulations, Representative. Further announcements, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Revenue Committee will meet at 1:15.
Further announcement, Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The House Subcommittee on Higher Education will meet at 1:10 because we're harder working than anybody else.
Remonstrances? Adjournment? Remonstrances, Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I would like to call your attention, I assume, to an article that you have all received. If you haven't, I'd be happy to share this one with you. It is a study that was done by CSG West in relationship to the issue of ethics. And one of the, at least, quote-unquote, certified smart people who was there that was making the case to CSG West committee made the very specific point that the answer to your ethics problem is not to run off and pass new rules/laws. Which we have already done, which is redundant at this point in our chamber, but is instead, and this isn't redundant, it is instead to involve yourself in an educational process to deal with those issues. So if you haven't received this, I'd be glad to share. And if you have, I'd urge you to read that and take it into consideration.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 23rd, 2007.
Madam Speaker, I move the House stand adjourned until 11 a.m. Thursday, January 3rd, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 11 a.m. Tuesday, January 23rd, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.